The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Name Three Songs. I'm Sarah Fagan.
I'm Jenna Million, and this is a podcast where we discuss feminist issues in music and pop culture, all while empowering fangirls.
Because let's be honest, fangirls knew about that band way before you did.
This week, we do have kind of a big fangirl episode, but we have some news to share with you all, and that is that we are going to be attending South by Southwest Music Festival in Austin, Texas, where I am located. And this
it's
is
so
a big
crazy.
Day because Sarah's literally never been to Austin, and I've like been trying to beg her for years to come, and she never will, and now she's finally being forced to. And so because we're prepping a lot for South By, we're doing a lot of artist interviews on the ground. We have a shorter episode for you guys this week, just because there were things we did want to talk about with the idea of you coming out.
There's just been a lot of discourse around the age gap involved in the movie, which is that Anne Hathaway's character is 41 and Nicholas Galitzine's character is 24. And, you know, there's never a lot of discourse when a man is 41 and a girl is 24. So I thought I should yell about that for a little bit.
So we are talking about that today. We are getting into some fangirl nonsense with the Oscars and specifically Sabrina Carpenter, but did want to share some South by Southwest things that I've been getting up to before the music portion of the week starts. If you want timestamps for all this, it'll be on our Instagram stories and saved to highlights. But yeah, I've been kind of running around South by Southwest as it starts. Usually the first half of the 10 or so days, kind of more depending on how much you're involved with it, is more so dedicated to film and interactive and technology and other things like that. And then music starts the second half of the week. But for my job, I've been running around doing some fun things. One of the things that I got to participate in, which I feel like you guys may be really interested in, is that I got to see a live panel from Switched on Pop.
That's so cool.
Vox Media had their setup. They were doing several live panels throughout the day. Switched on Pop being one of those. You guys may be familiar with it. It's basically the podcast where they talk about the making and meaning of popular music. It's hosted by songwriter Charlie Harding and musicologist Nate Sloan. For this taping, it was just Charlie Harding, and he was interviewing Amelia from Sylvanesso. So he had a music guest. And I honestly, like, I've listened to Switch on Pop like in the past, but it's been a while. So I don't know how this format compares to what they normally do. I feel like it was probably like pretty similar still, but essentially, and I am like, also spoilers, but like not that many spoilers, because like, I feel like number one will probably come out soon. And then number two, I'm just going to talk about this at like a high level, but it was very cool. Like spending some time hearing from Amelia, just kind of like, essentially like the music ecosystem they've built around Sylvanesso, and like they've kind of made their own studio out in North Carolina, and they've really like made it a space that's like for artists, you know, built by artists, because a lot of studios like in LA are just kind of like a money suck, and like they're talking about it being like a cave with just like red velvet and like no sunlight. And so this is very much the opposite of that, like trying to be just like a welcoming space for creatives. And apparently a lot of artists have gone out there to record their records. I don't have most of these artists, but it was just cool to hear them talk about how they're like making a space for artists. And then they were talking about the hardships of touring. And it was interesting because there was a lot of stuff that we've talked about recently with like UMG pulling their music from TikTok, the hardships of these mid-sized artists. They mentioned the TikTok stuff, but they didn't really like dig into that conversation. But they were kind of just going back and forth talking about like Sylvanesso owning their own masters and like why that was important to them.
And
the hardships of touring. And I don't think they've really gone back on tour since the pandemic. Don't quote me on that, but it sounded like they haven't really done a tour in a while. And they were kind of talking about how they just like needed space away from touring.
Interesting.
In order to just like spend more time on music and like their mental health and stuff like that.
That's really interesting. I think it's always really cool when like people outside of us are having these conversations, because I feel like a lot of the time, even in the interviews that I read, because I mostly read interviews rather than listen to them, like the conversations aren't that similar to like what we talk about on our main podcast. Like I feel like a lot of artists shy away from those topics sometimes. Yeah, but yeah. It's like they've got, I feel like a lot more artists also have gotten a lot more comfortable talking about it in public and like to other people, which I think is really cool and like really necessary to like actually make change.
Yeah. And Amelia was also talking about how even when they do tour, they've set up a lot of things where they kind of have basically a trusted close group of people of like, you know, mm-hmm. someone who's managing the merch and someone who's like managing production and like really building a team of people that they enjoy working with, that they trust, that they, you know, want to spend time with on the road because those things are really hard. And yeah. just trying to make the touring environment as nice as possible, which again, mm-hmm. I feel like is something we kind of just talked about with like that one artist saying that she wasn't going to have openers. And so it was interesting because it's like Sylvanesso is like, they've obviously been around for a while and have had success off of several records. So it's mm-hmm. interesting to hear it from their perspective, because I feel, again, like you kind of just said, like somebody of their size doesn't always talk about these things.
Yeah, definitely. That's so interesting. That's really cool that you got to see that in person, because I feel like that's not an opportunity people get that often to get to see like a full blown like artist conversation in real time.
That was about half of it. The other half, I won't spoil too much, but I think this is mostly the premise of Switched on Pop, is they like that each artist like brings a song to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so then they went into the back history on this song and this artist. And it was like, honestly, it was just really cool, really enjoyable. And like getting to hear them talk about music was really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And I did also want to call out that Charlie Harding, he's a songwriter, but he was just like so good at the way they did the interview, because it's like, for us, like we only know how we podcast. We don't know how it works yeah. behind the scenes for a lot of other people. So seeing a live podcast is crazy, because it's like they literally just like sat down and started talking. Like they were not like, hello, we're here to like record a podcast today. Like none of that. They literally just sat down and like got straight to it. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm Charlie Harding. I host Switch on Pop. Like it was crazy. But he just was so good at like talking and being so concise with his thoughts. And for a mm-hmm. lot of it, it was scripted. Like he had very specific things. He was kind of reading in very specific questions he was asking. But there was some off the cuff stuff that it was just fascinating to me, like how direct he was able to be, because we both mm-hmm. know from this experience, and probably you guys, if you've listened to other podcasts or artist interviews, you know that not everyone is good at talking. So I just yeah. was like thoroughly impressed with like his journalistic skills.
That's so cool. I love that. Yeah. Cause I feel like definitely like you and I ourselves have like talked about like different podcasts like we've listened to, or even artists that we've interviewed where it's like, oh, like they have good thoughts, but like talking, not for them.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a really cool experience, because I've never really done like a live podcast recording before.
Yeah. I know you said like mainly like the first couple of days like aren't really music based, but there have been bands that have like shown up early to play some stuff. And you've been posting some things on your Instagram stories. And my thing is that these are all rock bands that, and like, okay, Jenna and I were fighting, not really, about this earlier, but these are all rock bands that have multiple singers. And I'm not just saying like somebody who like does harmonies because they can kind of sing. I'm saying people are switching off chorus and verses, like their boy band behavior is occurring. And so I'm curious if that was like on purpose because of like the vibe that you're having right now of like your little indie boy band moment that we're like going through, or if that was like a happy accident.
No, this has all just happened. Like, I mean, the bands I've been seeing, there are people who get into town early, so they've already started doing shows. I saw this Australian band called Bones and Jones, and they were on my list to see. Like, I just was like, put the Spotify playlist on shuffle and they came up and I liked mm-hmm. their music. So they're from Australia. They're from like Melbourne-ish, around there. Mm-hmm. They are like alternative rock sector, but like kind of country leaning. Like they have, one of the dudes plays harmonica on stage. Like in Australia, cool. they would be considered country music, and here they would not be considered country music.
Okay,
so it's like, that's the differentiator. But I hadn't watched any of their live videos. Like I just had like listened to a few songs, and there's five of them on stage. So I was very surprised to find out what this dynamic was, because I'm just like, okay, you know, what a front man and a backing band. No.
Yeah.
There were fully like maybe two front men and like also maybe three front men. Like, it was wild. So like there was two of them who were like playing guitar and like singing. And mm-hmm. but then they would like trade off turns singing. And then some songs one would sing more than the other. But then mm-hmm. there was a third member who was also playing, I guess he was playing bass. He mm-hmm. was then, so then they were doing harmonies, and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then there was a song where the bassist and one of the guitarists switched instruments. And so then the guy who was playing bass is now fully playing guitar and doing the lead singing. And I was like, this is crazy.
I mean, I just think like people call the Jonas Brothers a boy band. So I'm like, how, that also sounds like a boy band.
I mean, yeah.
Sounds like a boy band.
Yeah. But I really, personally, I enjoyed their music a lot, but I was very surprised to see them doing that on stage. And then the other band that I saw the other night is from Chicago. They're called Freako, F-R-I-K-O. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them on a bunch of lineups. I listened to their music like a little bit and it just kind of sounded like Midwest alternative rock. Like it didn't necessarily stand out to me, but when I saw them perform, I was like, damn, this is it. Like for me, live performance is so important. And when I see that a musician is just like fucking locked in, like playing the music and feeling it so deeply, like there's some people who's like, brain is off, like world does not exist. They are in the moment playing the music, just feeling it for themselves. And that to me is a really great performer because the crowd was like sparse-ish. Like there were definitely people there, but the crowd was not bringing the energy. He was bringing the energy. And I have so much respect for that.
That's so cool.
So it was like a three piece. I think I'm like, I don't know if the bassist is like officially in the band because I saw like photos of just like two of them. But I guess I think that this is the other boy band that Sarah is referring to. I didn't necessarily pick up on that. I just thought the other guy was singing.
There was another band. You posted the Freako video and then you posted a video after that. And I think it was a different band.
It was a different band. But to me, they were just singing together.
There were multiple people singing, but the video, so Jenna told me to go check out Freako, and in the videos, it seemed like the drummer and the singer sang,
verses. The drummer also sings. Yeah, I did leave that out. In Freako, everyone was singing, but they were usually like the front man was singing the majority of time, and then the other two were kind of just doing like backing or slash gang vocals. I don't think the other two really had like full choruses or anything. There was never a moment where only the drummer was singing. I was thoroughly impressed with them. And after that band performed, there's a band called Wishy from Indianapolis. This was at the Midwest House. So it was all Midwest bands that were performing. To me, Wishy was very in Indianapolis. The singer was giving Patrick Stump.
I love that.
Just in the way he was dressed, it was really funny. Some of their music I really enjoyed because it was giving like 2000s, like coming of age, rom-com, like pop rock, like jam. I was like, this is great. Like, this could have been in Mean Girls. This could have been in a Lindsay Lohan movie. Like, I love it.
Oh my God. It's so cool. And I feel like it just makes me more excited to get to South By. I'm just like really excited to go hear some like new music and like discover new artists that I haven't heard before and like get to experience that with you when like that's always been like a big part of our
Sarah's being
in
passenger princess and I am making all the decisions of who we're seeing. It's great.
It's so fun. I'm so excited.
We do also have a lot of artist interviews coming up that people were very excited to talk to. People were very excited for you guys to hear. A lot of international artists, because a lot of international artists come for South By, so we definitely made that a priority. And if you guys want to see sneak previews of what we're seeing and what's been going on, come hang out on our Instagram at Name3Songs because we will be posting stuff on our stories as well as like our personal Instagrams. And with all that, let's get into our fangirl nonsense this week. As you know, this is a little bit of a different episode, so our fangirl nonsense might be a little bit short, but we do have the Oscars having happened Sunday night of this week. And the main things that I care about is Sabrina Carpenter being like insane on two different accounts.
So I think we briefly talked about this the other week of how Barry Keoghan and had been in Singapore for the Sabrina's shows on the Eras tour. And so they're like secret hard launching their relationship, you know, where it's like everybody knows, but nobody knows. And they're
because they haven't officially said anything, but it's like definitely happening.
And there's like photos of them at parties together and shit. Like
it's definitely happening.
It's happening.
They just haven't publicly acknowledged it.
But the big thing that has happened is they both went to the Vanity Fair Oscars party. And there is a video of them. I couldn't find this one, but there's a video of them like getting ready to go take their red carpet photos where it looks like they might be walking the carpet together. And then they walk it separately. But Barry is so distracted by how
one behind the other, like Barry's first and Sabrina's second.
Yeah. And like, Barry's so distracted by how hot Sabrina Carpenter looks in her dress that the paparazzi are like, Barry, fucking look at us. And he literally is like, he's but like, I'm distracted. Like, he literally is like, I'm a little he's distracted. He's only
looking at Sabrina Carpenter. It's so funny.
It's like, it's very cute.
But I've also seen like several POVs of this because I saw one on TikTok where like, it was somebody, it was kind of like going like facing down the carpet. So like Sabrina's closer and Barry's like further away. So Sabrina's just like doing her little poses and he just like keeps looking over and they have to switch spots and he keeps doing it. It is so funny.
And then when they're done, she like runs off after him, but they're like never standing directly next to each other. Like there's paparazzi photos of him and I want to say it's either like his manager or his publicist or something and his arms around that one like this older woman, like not older but just like, you know, like probably in like her late 30s, and but he doesn't have his jacket on and Sabrina is wearing his jacket but she is like 6 feet away from him. And it's so funny because it's like they're so obviously together but never right next to each other.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with them being like this. I'm obsessed with them being obsessed with each other. The hardest of soft launches. But this is maybe funnier because there's a video of Sabrina getting ready to like, I'm assuming this is like during her like pre-walking the carpet moment. And she's talking about like the potential of her meeting Cillian Murphy. And she's like, kind of going crazy over it. And she was like, if Cillian Murphy like leaves, I am also leaving. Like not with him, but maybe like following him home. And it's so funny. Like she's clearly like a massive fangirl up for Cillian Murphy, but is like really trying to keep it together. And this is so fucking funny because what is Cillian Murphy if not a blue-eyed Irish man with a jawline? And what is Barry Keoghan if not a blue-eyed Irish man with a jawline?
They're also both little freaks. They're both 5'8", and they only play like the creepiest characters, like the little freakiest characters ever. Like Sabrina's just like, oh, I can't have the married like 47-year-old little freak. Yeah. I'll have the unmarried 31-year-old little freak.
Which edition do you want?
She's like, I guess I'll take the unmarried one. He is a baby. Irish, who cares?
Irish little freak, which edition? the 76 edition or the
92 edition?
That's insane. Love that for her. Some big support. Living the dream. Living all of our dreams.
Literally, though. So I will say that everybody is really, really excited about Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter dating when she's 24 and he's 31. So they have an 8-year age gap. Or a 7-year age gap, depending on when birthdays are. And yet, the news lately has been getting real mad about older women and younger guys. And while we all know how I personally feel about age gaps, especially when the younger person is under the age of 25, which means I can giggle as much as I want about Barry and Sabrina, but I'm like, really? What? Does it not make you uncomfortable? Like, a little bit? Like, a little bit. I don't know. I'm not them. For me,
I just suddenly, the brain being fully formed at age 25 just starts to make a lot of sense once you're past that age.
Yeah. Like the older you get, you're just like, oh, wow, I've lived so much more life than you. Crazy. Insane. And then like once they get past like 25, 26, it's like, adults.
It's fine.
It's a little, like, it's fine. It's but okay. Like,
you can make your own decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Before that, no. You need a permission slip. You need 7 adults to sign off on this. So I bring up the age gap because there's been a lot of discourse around age gaps when the woman is older and the man is younger. And a lot of this has been because finally we have the trailer for The Idea of You starring Nicholas Galitzine and Anne Hathaway, which is not a Harry Styles fanfic, but it could be a Harry Styles fanfic.
It's definitely a fanfic that's loosely based on Harry Styles, if you put it that way.
No, it's definitely a book that is loosely based on Harry Styles.
Okay, well,
in order for it to be a fanfic, it has to have been published on like Wattpad or fanfic.
Okay.
And like
this one's straight to publishing.
Like, been based like actually like started off as like, oh, this is about Harry Styles, like the after books. Like Harry Styles was like a character in it. And this, like, there was a Vogue interview that the author of this book did in like 2020 where she said, this was never supposed to be a book about Harry Styles. It was supposed to be a story about a woman approaching 40 and reclaiming her sexuality and rediscovering herself, just at the point that society traditionally writes women off as desirable and visible and whole. And basically, like, the author of this, like, Glamour article that's explaining everything says that the author concedes that she considered both Harry Styles and Prince Harry as inspiration, but also that she had had a relationship with a younger man herself. So it's more accurate to the novel and film and, like, how they're made up of a mix of influences. So there's, like, a lot going into it, but the book was not based off of specifically, like, Harry Styles or his relationship with anybody specifically. But she did say that her husband was away on a business trip and she was watching, she like was on YouTube and found like some One Direction video or like some video about Harry Styles and how he like has dated a decent amount of women who are older than him. Because that's like just a factual statement. Even if they're like 2 years older than him, they're still older than him. And I feel like for most women, even just like dating a guy 2 years younger than you feels like something that doesn't happen that often.
Right.
Because we're like kind of, especially like for her generation of women, it's like, oh, you marry an older man.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like it's become more common recently that women can date younger and it not be like looked down upon or be as weird, even though it still is looked down upon. But especially for like Gen X and like older millennials and people older than that, like the idea of a woman dating a younger man, even if it's like a year younger, it's like, oh, you're robbing the cradle. And it's like, he's a year behind me in high school. Like, what's so fucking weird about that? And like, people get weird about it. So I can like understand to that degree, like where she's where her thought process came from in that. And like why like dating a younger man sounds like invigorating or whatever.
In the book, the character Hayes, who's in the boy band, is 20 years old. Celine, who is the older woman, is 39. So in the book, the age gap is quite drastic and a little bit upsetting. In the movie, they change that to be not so upsetting, but still a very large age gap. In the movie, Nicholas Galantine's character Hayes is going to be 24. And Anne Hathaway's character is 41, which, like, also, why did they age her character up? Why couldn't they make her, like, 36 and, like, Hayes could be 24? You know, like, something a little bit more...
I think they wanted to still have, like, the significant age gap, but it not
for the commentary.
Yeah, but not feel as, like, disgusting. Because I think, like, a 36-year-old dating a 24-year-old doesn't feel that insane. And you're like, okay, like they might have more in common, but somebody who's like 41 and has a kid.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing. Because also like, that's the other thing. There's like a huge plot point in this book about how they met because she brought her like 13, 14 year old daughter to go to a meet and greet for the boy band that this character Hayes is in.
Well, that's what happens in the book. I don't know how much of that they're writing into the movie.
But it's clear in the trailer that she's with a daughter. Like, it is clear.
I didn't get that.
If you watch it, like, the girl that she is with clearly has to be her kid. Like, there's no way. Like, at Coachella, there's, like, a scene there. And then there's one scene where she's talking to a girl who looks similar enough to her and young enough that I'm like, oh, that has to be her kid.
I didn't catch that.
But they obviously, like, they changed how they meet. And, like, this is just obvious in the trailer. Like, in the trailer for the movie. Yeah, they meet like at Coachella because she's like in his trailer for some reason. Don't know why, because we haven't seen the movie yet. But like, this isn't a situation as much where it went from being a book about like a mom stealing her daughter's crush and falling in love with him to like something happening less aggressive. Like less aggressive.
An accidental meeting.
Which I think will make the movie a lot more comfortable for a lot of people.
Probably.
But there has been a lot of conversation, specifically on Twitter, specifically about the age gap and like why Anne Hathaway agreed to do this movie. When, like, to me, this trailer looks so good. I've never seen a better looking movie in my life. They're all just like, why would you do this? And I'm like, I don't know. It looks like a good movie to me. But I'm also like, because like the trailer looks good. Because like Jenna and I were like joking beforehand. We're like, oh, this is going to be like a Hallmark, like crappy, awful movie probably. And then we see the trailer and we're like, oh, wait, maybe this is actually going to be like a good movie.
I'm still on the fence about whether or not it's going to be good or not. I think it 50-50 could go either way.
So I don't know. Like, I basically, like, what I wanted to talk about today was that I saw two different discourses happening on Twitter, which is one, like, why is Anne Hathaway doing this? Like, this is a weird, this age gap is weird. Why are we feeling this? Like, they were just saying, like, the age gap's disgusting when, like, Leonardo DiCaprio has been dating 25-year-olds since he was 25, like, in his real life. And there are so many movies where, like, the age gap isn't even acknowledged, but the actor is so significantly older than, like, the actress that is acting against him as his love interest. And, like, it's not even part of the plot, you know? And so I think that it's interesting and, like, helpful to the discourse that the age gap is part of the plot and a part of the conversation and, like, can possibly move the conversation forward about these things, where it's, like, in a lot of instances, a large age gap isn't that big of a deal if two people are adults. Again, him being 24, not for me. Not what I fuck with. But, like, we said this about, I think I, like, briefly mentioned this when we were talking about Bradley Cooper and Gigi Hadid.
Yeah.
Gigi Hadid's, like, 28, Bradley Cooper's, like, 49. And I'm, like, for me, I would not date a man that much older than me. But she's, like, a fully formed adult. She has a kid. He's a fully formed adult. He is a kid. They both live lives. Like, do as you wish, you know? Not for me, for them. Fine. I don't care. I'm not going to have any qualms about it. So, like, a lot of people are just, like, saying, like, oh, like, this movie's disgusting. It's, like, making something beautiful that's not whatever. And I'm like, guys, it's a movie. It's just, like, it's not that deep. And I've never seen you.
It's a movie. That feels like a movie.
But also, I've, like, never seen people complain this much, like, when that happens, when the male character is, like, significantly older.
Right. Because we're so used to seeing it that it's never talked about. It's simply never talked about.
Exactly. And it's like, I feel like I spend so much time Googling, like, how old Daniel Craig is when a new James Bond movie comes out. And, like, the Bond girl still looks 24 and he just keeps getting older.
Right.
I'm like, okay. But yeah, so that was, like, part of the discourse. And then the other part was that a lot of Harry fans, like, solo Harry fans specifically, were on Twitter up in arms saying that we should boycott this movie because it was clearly based off of a Caroline Flack, Harry Styles fan fiction. That's not a factual statement.
Also, why would you be boycotting because of that?
Because they are saying that when Harry and Caroline dated or whatever was happening with them, she was 31, he was 17.
Oh.
Technically, that's legal in England. And they're just like, it glorifies grooming, blah, blah, blah. But, like, even in the book, Hayes is not a teenager.
Right.
Like, he is 20 or 21. So there is no instance where this could be a case of, like, legitimately grooming an underage person, which is, like, what grooming is.
Right.
And my personal qualm with all of this is Caroline Flack took her own life due to the way that the media reported on her for most of her career. And I just think that there's no reason to, like, keep coming after somebody who is struggling with their mental health, who is no longer with us.
Yeah.
Especially when it's, like, not factual statements that people are making. Like, I could understand if we had proof that this was a Caroline Harry fanfic that turned into a movie. I can understand that. But there is no proof to it. It's been refuted and proven to be false. And so I just think, like, it's so unnecessary. And it's just a discussion that shouldn't be had, especially when Harry has not ever said it, but most fans are under the consensus that there are at least two songs of his that he has written about Caroline that are from a very positive point of view. And nothing, like, negative has ever been said from him about her. And again, it's like, he's lived a long life to this point, and he's very, like, keeps things to his chest, and, like, who knows what he might be dealing with. But I think also from what we know about their relationship, it doesn't ever seem like it was that serious. I honestly just, like, never thought that they were actually dating. I thought that, like, maybe she was mentoring him. But again, I was, like, always hoping for the best when it comes to things like this, where I'm like, oh, this adult woman is just, like, taking care of this young man. And I mean, she wrote a memoir in 2015, and there was a quote that I found on a site just about, like, her referencing their relationship. And she just said, at the beginning, it was all very playful. He joked about being attracted to older women. There was 12 years between us. No one seemed to be bothered then about the age difference. And she said it began to go wrong after, like, unflattering tabloid stories about, like, her romance with him came out, which, like, called her a cougar and a predatory older woman. And then strangers online started calling her a pedophile and a pervert. And One Direction fans were, like, harassing her and mocking her and all that kind of stuff, which, like, I understand teen girls being horrible, but, you know, I don't know. I just like, from my memory of it, and like, Jenna, I don't know like what your memory of their relationship was.
I have no memory. Like, I know that it happened, but like, I was not personally invested in like any of this. So like, I don't even remember what the conversation online was.
I feel like there was like one or two photos of them holding hands in public and like a photo of him leaving her flat once or twice. But there was like nothing that salacious that ever made me believe that they were like deeply romantically entangled. So it just feels like people like to be mad about something. And this is like the thing that they're choosing to be mad about.
Yeah. And also even the book, I mean, I listened to the audiobook like a little bit, I got like halfway through maybe. Definitely not the way the characters portrayed is definitely not grooming, even though the younger one is 20. So I also like don't really see the points that these people are trying to argue.
Yeah. And I think it's also just like really obvious from like how old Nicholas Galitzine looks in general. Like I'm not saying like,
okay, I thought he was gonna be he's 29 in real life. For some reason I was just like, oh, he's gonna be 26 in the movie, and then he's like 24, which is like fine. But I'm just like, can he pass for 24? I don't know.
I mean, it looks like two. Like,
I mean, it looks like two adults.
It looks like two adults. It looks like two adults.
That's fine. Nicholas Galitzine looks like an adult man. So
yeah, it's so funny watching this because it does just look like, oh, like these are two adults having a consensual relationship. Yeah. Like, what are people so mad about just because they read like a plot point? And again, it's like this idea that like the author of this book has saying how like the whole point was about reclaiming your sexuality and like rediscovering yourself with like a younger person and it being like this invigorating thing. Like the age of the younger person doesn't really matter that much, I don't think.
Yeah.
They could have made him any age between like 24 and 27. And I think it still would have made the point, you know, of like, oh, this is like a significant age gap. They're from different generations, whatever. But I think like people getting mad about it is, again, just one of those things where it's just misogyny at the end of the day, really, because like nothing about their relationship is predatory. Nothing about it is any of these situations, because also like when you think about it and like think about conversations we've had before talking about like predatory relationships and music and pop culture and all of that, it's like they are very much at a level playing field because this character is in like the most popular boy band in all of the world that are somehow headlining Coachella. The boy band's gonna headline Coachella. And she's like a successful gallery owner. So like they both are independently successful. They both have their own lives.
There's
and
not
careers.
Really the power play. There's not because that's what we usually talk about is like one person usually has more power over the other due to their status or their job or whatever it is.
Yeah. And that's like usually what the big issue is in a lot of these things. And again, like we were saying at the beginning of this, it's like when somebody is like younger than 25, 26, like there's also the whole like their brain's not fully formed yet. So yeah, so I don't know. It's just been like interesting watching all of this unfurl online, because also while this has been happening, there have also been headlines around Kristen Cavallari from The Hills, who is 37 and has two children and has recently hard launched her 24-year-old boyfriend who is
good for her.
Like, yeah, good for her. But also like, you know, it's like whatever. It's a double-edged sword of like, good for her. You get that guy, you do your thing, but also it's so complicated. I feel in pain when I think about it. Because literally, if he was a year older, I would not care.
Yeah, like, I literally wouldn't. Fair. No, that's fair. That's fair.
It's so fucking funny. But there have just been headline after headline about this and how there's all these women on TikTok who are married, who are basically saying like, oh, Kristen's going through a midlife crisis and that is why she is dating this child. And they are just like saying like, she has kids, blah, blah. Like, why would she do this? And it's like, you can be 37 and like be and have kids and feel like you want to restart your life and like do certain things. And it's like not that big of a deal. But also like the amount of men in Hollywood who have like gotten divorced and like started dating an 18-year-old, like men in Hollywood do this all of the time and nobody is yelling about midlife crises or anything like that. And so I just think that this whole misogynistic double-edged sword of like, well, women aren't allowed to do it is like so fucking unhinged, because even though me personally, I'm like, oh, under, like, his brain's not fully formed. I'm like, he's still an adult and he can make his own decisions. My qualm with it is that he's in a TikTok house called the Montana Boys with a Z. Like, that's my issue.
That's gross.
That's my issue. Because I'm like, if he's in a TikTok house and he's 24.
No.
How his brain is far from cooked.
No. So my favorite quote in all of this is actually page 6 reporting on Whoopi Goldberg talking about this on The View, in which they say, Whoopi Goldberg slammed people who called Anne Hathaway's character disgusting. And then the quote from Whoopi Goldberg is, apparently the internet is divided. Some people call the age gap disgusting, while others say they're here for it. None of that was an opinion. All of that were just factual statements. Whoopi Goldberg was just saying what people were saying on the internet. I was like, Whoopi Goldberg slams people who talk about Anne Hathaway. It was just very funny.
It's all very funny. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I am a hater of age gap second and a feminist first. So I'm just like out here, like, just let these ladies live their lives. But I do think it's unfair for other women who have made other decisions in their lives to like sit online and talk about how immature and concerned they are for someone's mental health for dating somebody significantly younger than them, when like we never really see those conversations happening when men do it.
I completely agree. I feel like it's really just not that serious. This movie is just not that serious. This movie is meant to be a silly, goofy time. It's meant to be for fangirls, and we just don't need to be thinking this deeply about it. That's exactly all I gotta say.
I mean, I think that that's completely valid. And I think that that is truthful. And it's just annoying that it's also happening to a real life person while people are complaining about a movie. And I was like, cool. Amazing. Everybody hates women having fun. So dumb. Anyway, I just think it's really interesting to see like who comes out of the woodwork to complain about something when something buzzy finally gets put out into the world. Because I feel like we've all been like waiting for this movie trailer for so long, because the conversation around this book, at least to me, was like very prominent in like 2020 and 2021. Like for like, I feel like for a full year and a half, like there was a huge conversation around this book. So it's just interesting to see people getting up in arms about it now because the movie trailer came out, when I feel like the conversation around the book was even more so about Harry. Anyway, obviously we have big thoughts and feelings about weird age gap relationships, no matter which side of the coin is the oldest. But if you guys have any thoughts or feelings about the idea of you, which I'm sure we all do, because I mean, I can't even look at the stills of that movie without giggling a little bit. You can hit us up on social media. We are at Name3Songs on all platforms. Or if you have any personal feelings you would like to share with us, I am at Sarah_Fagan and Jenna is at Jenna_Million. So thanks for joining us this week on Name3Songs. And until next time, never let anyone make you feel bad about your favorite band.
And remember, you're never too cool to listen to Harry Styles.
Don't forget to subscribe to be notified when each episode comes out and leave us a 5-star review. They really help.
If you want to find out more about any of the sources we referenced in this episode, you can visit name3songs.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.